lyrics here.
You're the only star in my blue heaven, and you're shining just for me. You're the only star in my blue heaven.
I actually thought this was the Tennessee Waltz.
It's
a different one.
This is You're My Only Star, or You're the Only Star in My Blue Heaven. What a sad, sad song, as are all the blues, really. I've noticed. That's why they're blue.
That's why they're blue.
It's the Brian and Vinny Show. Speaking of blue.
Why did you say that?
A bunch of shows we've got to recap today. Actually, we've got some good shows to recap today, now that I think about it.
Well, how much are we talking about here?
I just presume that every time we do a show, it's a bad show that we have to recap, like TNA.
Or ECW.
Or ECW. We've got ECW on Thursday, along with TNA. Tonight we've got SmackDown, The Great American Bash, and Raw, actually. So it's going to be a fun night here on this wacky little program. We've got some shout-outs as well. We'll do a big plug for the website. Got some big guests coming up on Figure Four Daily that
I
you
like
can't...
You just plugged a plug.
I'm going to plug the plug later. That's right. I feel that some people may tune in just for the plug. So anyway, let's get this damn show on the road right here. As noted, I'm going to start out with the plug. I'm now going to give the plug. Everybody sign up if you're listening to this show. We got a lot of stuff coming up that you can't hear unless you're a member. If you're happy with one show a week, delayed in this case, then that's fine. You can remain a freeloader. But I suggest that you put your money down, plop down $9.99, forego 1 gallon of gas, sign up for the website, especially if you're overseas and your currency is so strong compared to ours. Sign up for the old website here and have a little bit of fun. We have so many radio shows, it's useless for me to try and recap them all. We've got something like 6 different shows, 7 shows, eight, I think 8 shows.
All I know is the tab on the front page where the radio shows are, there used to be one line, now there's 2, and it looks like there's running out of room for 2, with 2.
Yeah, there's 2 lines. You can go up to figure4online.com right now, or wrestlingobserver.com. It's a combined website now, for those of you that haven't noticed. And you'll see tabs for Figure Four Daily, Wrestling Observer Radio, Brian and Vinny Show.
That's me.
Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare, Five Star Radio, Dr. Keith Show, Carl Stern Show, and Tough Talk. That's right. Figure Four Daily, I'm doing 3 times a week. We do a mailbag show. We do a show with either Lance Storm or Buddy Wayne. And then we do a show with a guest. And this week, we may have 2 guests. It's an Ohio Valley week. The world-famous Mike Mondo, Mikey of the Spirit Squad.
Excellent.
He's going to be on the show, as is the great Al Barone. That's a doubleheader.
Wow.
If there's ever been one. And that's likely coming up Wednesday. And we do that show 3 times per week. Wrestling Observer Radio, Dave Meltzer and I, 3 times per week. Those of you that used to love the old IATA shows, well, it's back. 3 days a week, Dave and myself talking all the news and wrestling and answering questions, that sort of thing. Brian and Vinny's show, which we do at least twice a week, 3 times if Vinny's around, which he was not this weekend. Adam and Mike, Big Audio Nightmare.
Actually, I was around. You left.
I did leave. But I could have had your ass come over here at 1 o'clock in the morning.
On Sunday?
Yeah.
You could have, yes.
The Adam and Mike, Big Audio Nightmare with Mike Sempervivi and Adam Summers, Japan, hockey, number of other different subjects. 5 Star Radio, MMA, Tough Talk, MMA. Both mixed martial arts shows, if you're a big fan of that. Dr. Keith's show, Wacky Indie Wrestling, and the Carl Stern Show, The History of Pro Wrestling. Everything's covered at this website. Every single thing in combat sports is covered. Fake pro wrestling, real fighting, even boxing on the Adam and Mike show. It's all covered. You will get all the audio that you could shake a stick at. You can't keep up. I make that challenge right now. If you sign up, you will not be able to keep up with everything.
You will not listen to every show we put out in a month.
And if you do, something's wrong with you, quite frankly.
Get a life.
Something's wrong with you. You also, of course, get the newsletters, the Figure Four newsletter that I've been publishing since 1995, and the world-famous Wrestling Observer newsletter, which has been published since 1983, in fact. And we've got archives of both issues as well. Dave puts up at least 1 new issue a week and 1 back issue. And if you sign up right now, you can get tomorrow's issue, which is a double issue. There was so much news this past weekend, Dave put out a double issue. I myself stuck with the single, but that's just the way I am.
Because you're human.
Yeah, 300.
Dave is some sort of demigod of wrestling journalism.
360 some figure fours, about 13 observers, but growing fast. It's only been a month, everybody. But all that's available for members. And, of course, you have access to the board. You have access to old editions of Wrestling Observer Live. So many things here on this website. And if you don't feel like signing up, just head to figure4online.com anyway. Tell your friends. There's free stuff every day. There's a daily news update for free. There are TV reports. There are ongoing play-by-plays of major events and pay-per-views. We'll do it this weekend for CBS as well. So head over there every day and check out the free stuff. And I recommend signing up if you want more, especially if you love audio and you've got a commute or you've got various things that you do, the gym, who knows, and you want to hear stuff. Well, this is the place for you. So sign up today. And a little bit later on, we will be reading some shout-outs here on this particular show. And we'll let you know what people think that have actually signed up for this wonderful little website right here. So, anyway, we're going to get back to work here on the programs that we have to recap today. But first off, we're going to play a song. And all the songs, by the way, are available on the board. So if you're a fan of these and you want a copy of them for yourselves, well, that is the place to go. Let's try this one. Don't fuck with me. We have some real goofballs on the website.
Hey, I got a new dance for y'all called
figure4online.com.
You got a punch, then crank back.
No, it's a plug.
What? Super Frog?
Vince Verheid. Vince Verheid.
Superman and ho.
Vince Verheid.
B.
Vince Verheid.
B.
Vince Verheid.
B.
Vince Verheid.
Brian Alvarez.
Brian Alvarez. Superman.
Claire Pinney.
Brian Alvarez. Brian Alvarez. Brian Alvarez. Brian Alvarez.
The Great Cancer created that song.
An amazing song.
It is an amazing song. All right, let's get going. I guess we got to go back in time. I was going to say a day late and a dollar short, but we're almost a week late here.
They're actually taping the episode as we speak, probably.
They are taping. Well, actually, they're already done taping.
Oh, they're done. Okay.
They are finished taping this Friday SmackDown, and
we are talking about last Friday SmackDown.
For those of you that don't like spoilers, don't click on the spoiler on the front page, but everybody doesn't care. Please go and read about who the number one contender for the world title at SummerSlam is so we can all have a good laugh. There will be much to talk about on next week's show. Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about. I was aware that I believe Dave said they're doing a battle royal.
Well, I'll reveal it right now. If you don't like spoilers, I
skip ahead 40 minutes.
Skip ahead quite a ways. You've been warned.
Yeah, should I guess?
Sure.
MVP.
The Great Khali.
What?
The Great Khali is the number one contender for Triple H at SummerSlam.
No.
Yeah.
How can that be?
They're retarded.
Didn't they try that once and it sucked?
I don't know. That's the match, everybody.
Does Hunter know about this?
Apparently he does.
How does he feel?
Triple H and the Great Khali is your big SummerSlam main event. Yeah.
Wow.
The show fell off a cliff. We'll talk about what Vicky did after we reveal this, after we talk about this SmackDown show right here. She opened up with a video package of the Edge-Vicky love affair, and they cut to a scene from earlier in the day of them getting married. They did the marriage before the actual SmackDown event took place. We were only there for the reception. They had a deal set up on the stage with cake and various accoutrements and that sort of thing, and Chavo was there with a little deal that he was going to read about how Edge was a perfect man to enter the Guerrero family because he had a wild side. But now he was a changed man, he said. And they were all lovey. And Edge said, you know, my wife loves action in more ways than one. And so let's get this show on the road. And it immediately went to Finlay and Hornswoggle versus the Edge Geeks. And Edge announced that since the Midget and Finlay cheated every week with squirt guns and the like to have an even playing field, he was going to be the referee. And, of course, he fucked with Finlay the whole time, and Finlay finally went mad and tried to give him the Celtic Cross, but the Edge Geeks broke it up, and then Edge gave Finlay the spear, Edge Geeks pinned him, and that was the end of that. So, basically, they were showing the world they had great power, Edge and Vicky, And it was the calm before the storm.
This whole segment was actually quite awesome. You had the fantastic Edge and Vicky Love video, which most of which I think they'd seen before, although there was new stuff coming in with their reconciliation last week. And then they all came out for the party, and it was all quite dapper. And Chavo gave a speech, and Chavo, of course, was the best man at the wedding. And, you know, it's a burden on the best men to put the speech together. You're always trying to capture so much emotion in just a few short words. And Chavo managed to pull that off and plug the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
So he, in fact, is a total pro. Then they did the match, and just watching Edge and the Edge Geeks walk to the ring, casually removing their fine attire, their cummerbunds and their vests and whatnot. And then the match began, and it was Edge in there with two guys in black slacks and white shirts, and I thought, holy shit, the Rude is back together.
Yeah.
Gangrel's back. But no, it was just Hawkins and Ryder. And then they did their wacky little match, and Edge fucked them over and counted the three count, and he should have counted fast, but he counted the three count, and the heels won, and everything was right with this show.
May as well bring Gangrel back with D'Lo Brown back on Monday.
Why not?
We had Edge and Vicky having their first dance with live singers.
Who were so horrid.
It was wonderful.
That made it better.
And then Big Show tried to cut in, and so Edge demanded that he have a match. It was Big Show against Khali, MVP, Shelton, and Vladimir Kozlov. Kozlov in this match was just a tragedy. It was just wrong. They've done a good job setting him apart from everybody else, but once he stood there on the apron with these other guys, he was just another tall geek. And he couldn't do a thing with Big Show. That was the story of the match. Nobody could do anything separately, so they all had to gang up on him. And then that ended up being a DQ. And then Kozlov gave him the headbutt, and Khali hit him with the tree slam, and Big Show was dead.
There was a point here during the match where they cut up on stage. They cut to the upstage on stage where Edge was eating, and Edge is so awesome. The Edge eating is entertaining. He was cutting his food and, I don't know, making an expression with his eyes about how good it was, and he's a fantastic man. The match itself was a nothing.
Yeah.
A nothing event. It went a minute.
Vicky was in mid-ring screaming about how this was her day, and the fans were being rude.
As she pointed out?
Yeah.
How rude, she said.
So it was time to toss the bouquet, and all the divas were outside, and Michelle attacked Natalia and was beating on her until she got ejected. So Vicky ended up tossing the bouquet, which, of course, nobody caught. They're all clumsy. Fell on the ground. Cherry got it. And Vicky was like, well, that's wonderful. I never expected you to get married, Cherry. She said, you have won a match with me. But first, you must face Natalia. And Natalia killed her, beat her with the sharpshooter. And then Vicky said, wait, it's my turn. And she covered her and got the pin and announced, the winner is the bride.
The winner is the bride.
I've never been so happy.
This is the best wedding ever. At least the best reception ever. But yes, thank God for Vicky. This is so awesome. Just watching Vicky having fun is always good.
Yeah, it was her special day.
It was her special day. The winner is the bride.
We had H. Brian Kendrick against the Redneck. I just made that up, but that's perfect. I hadn't even thought
Brian
about it.
Brian Kendrick?
Yeah, HBK.
I see.
He's got the new Shawn Michaels gimmick from 1993. He's got a black diesel named Ezekiel. What could they have called him?
I like Ezekiel.
They need something. He needs something updated, like menthol.
Hummer.
Ethanol.
From diesel ethanol.
That should have been his name. Or menthol. Either way. Anyway, he came out, and this was,
It was
a new Brian Kendrick against the Redneck, having the same match they always have.
Yes.
Except Brian Kendrick was a small heel. It was fine. They were making a lot of Shawn Michaels references, so we'll see how long they give this one before they give up on it. But it was fun. I would like to see them give Kendrick a shot as a heel. But for some reason, I just figure man lost in shuffle very shortly.
Very possible, very possible. And I always doubted his. When I heard they were going to turn him heel, I thought, that sounds so stupid. And then watching him here, I thought, you know, he's got a good swagger to him, a good cocky arrogance. He's just so tiny.
He's a small man.
Is he going to get the heat on Matt Hardy?
Yeah.
That's going to be silly.
He is actually about my size.
Yeah. Well, the other thought I had was he's got the shoulder length Bobby, and I thought, wow, he looks like Brian Pillman.
Yeah.
Then I thought, wow, like 2 months ago when Brian Alvarez had his long blonde hair, he looked like Pillman too.
No more.
Well, no, you don't now, but three guys named Brian who just all looked about the same. It was creepy. Creeping me out a lot.
Thank God me and Kendrick aren't drug users. That's the big difference.
True, true.
And or you crazy. Cut your hair. I didn't cut my hair.
Is it still blonde? You're wearing a hat.
It's not dark.
All right.
It's dark now. Anyway, for those of you keeping track of my hair. Umaga and Mr. Kennedy. Oh, I cackled.
Yes, Brian?
I cackled during this match.
And why is that?
I actually watched Mr. Kennedy's ring introduction, which I never do. It's the same shit every time, and it bores me. But I watched it this time, and the place just went fucking crazy for this guy.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, this fucking guy's over.
Yeah.
So then he had a match with Mr. Umaga, and people were all behind Mr. Kennedy. He had great babyface fire there near the end, makes his big comeback. Then he sets up the monster for his move, the mic check. And he sets him up, and he yanks back, and he falls on his ass, and Umaga doesn't even move.
He just doesn't go.
Finisher killed. Umaga then picks the man up, thumbs him in the neck, and he is dead. 1, 2, 3.
You pretty much covered it.
What a fucking jobber.
You're forgetting the detail where the match sucked and went on forever, and all Umaga did was keep him in a nerve pinch.
Well, he did do a long nerve pinch, yes.
No, he did 8 long nerve pinches.
This went about 12 minutes.
So to review, Mr. Kennedy got killed in a boring match where his finisher was destroyed, and then he was obliterated.
Yes.
It was a bad... And it all started off so well. It was a bad day to be Mr. Kennedy.
I am not a Mr. Kennedy fan.
But you had to feel bad for him.
I did. I felt bad for this guy.
He was over, and they went out of the way to make sure he would not be over.
My God, was he bare. I figure the idea is it's... Well, actually, I guess not anymore. I thought it was Umaga and Triple H at SummerSlam. That's the only thing that made sense to me. Wrong!
Sense?
Now it makes the... Now, yeah, if they're building him up for the title shot, then fine, you killed Mr. Kennedy.
There's no sense on SmackDown.
Sure there is. This is the only show that has any sense on it.
Well, no more. No more. Now they just make tiny guys heels and have the up-and-coming babyface the crowd loves and just rub him out. Just erase him.
We had a Edge commercial for Slim Jims, and the commercial begins with Edge walking into some sort of store.
The DMV.
DMV or whatever, and as he's walking through the doors, I'm like, wow, this is Edge in a Slim Jim commercial. Why the fuck isn't this guy champion? This is like a major deal. This guy's a star. Then it was the stupidest fucking commercial I have ever seen ever in my life, and I was embarrassed for Edge. I was physically embarrassed for the man.
It was, this is the campaign they're doing. Everyone's got a little...
I don't want to talk about
evil,
it.
Evil, impish version. Well, one thing I do want to talk about before we move on, they cut to a shot of Mick Foley and Jim Ross introducing this commercial. Mick Foley, throughout his career, pretty much only wore red flannel. He has moved on. He had this amazing jacket, like black suede with fringe everywhere and teal bits. It was incredible. Mick Foley, everyone, sharp-dressed man.
I missed that one. Maybe he was Dude Love this evening.
Maybe he was.
Miz and Morrison against Jesse and Festus. Last week, the bell had not rang after Festus was nutty. So I was hoping he would come down the aisle nutty, and then they'd ring the bell and he'd be an idiot and they'd kill him. Apparently they rang the bell last week. Anyway, they beat the Miz and Morrison beat him clean, and not really much to say about it except why the fuck did these guys lose the belts on Sunday?
This was, yeah.
We can talk about that later.
We'll talk about that later. But this is a non-title match with the tag champs to set up a four-way match that both of these teams are already in. So what is the point of it?
They needed bodies.
Who cares who won? Nothing was on the line here. This was dumb. The only thing I liked about this segment was right beforehand, there was just a very brief shot on the stage where you just saw the wedding planner like arranging the cake or fixing a tablecloth or something, just long enough to remind everyone, hey folks, the wedding planner's here.
Sure.
And then they moved on.
Very good. Then we had the explanation for why Cena was alive, which you'll recall they made no mention of on ECW the night after. We had Jim Ross saying, John Cena is a lucky man, and Mick Foley said, he avoided disaster. That was all they said. Wow.
What more do you need to know?
This was TNA-rific right here. Then we had Matt and Jeff in an Omega special. We had Vicky commanding the brothers to fight, and apparently they really didn't want to because they had a boring match. They did some moves. Jeff missed a senton. Matt hit a moonsault, and then Jeff kicked out, and everybody hit the ring. I think they hit the ring late. It doesn't matter. But anyway, they beat the guys up. left him laying. And again, I don't know what the point of this was.
I thought perhaps...
I presume to set up the Hardys, perhaps, against the Edge Geeks. I don't know.
That would actually, I'd be fine with that.
I don't think it's happening.
I don't either, but you never know. But yeah, the highlight of this to me was, first of all, the Hardys came out and to protest being put in this match. They attempted, you know, it's wrestling and there's a cake involved. You know someone's going to end up wearing the cake. They attempted to put the cake on Chavo. This is the worst cake tossing you've ever seen. Chavo had to, like, lean into it to make sure any cake got on him. So Hardys need to work on their cake tossing form. Then they had the match. There was not much to it. My favorite part was very early on, Matt went for the twist of fate. Jeff stuck his arm in to block it. And so Matt, even though the arm was in there blocking the hold, he tried to apply a guillotine anyway. There was a point here where Matt Hardy tried to play a guillotine and Jeff had the arm in. My point being, Matt Hardy is not a jiu-jitsu black belt.
Actually, you can choke somebody if their arm's in there.
I'm not a black belt either, though, so I don't know that. I thought it just looked dumb.
No, you can get somebody with their arm in there. So yeah, there you go. Fail.
It was a fail.
No, you.
Oh.
You were the fail.
I didn't say it was a fail.
I'd choke you right now with your arm in there if you want me to.
I failed.
All right, let's do the main gist of this show, the highlight of the year. Edge and Vicky were in the ring, and Edge said that he could not show her physically how much he loved her, but he had told the SmackDown production crew to work their asses off. He didn't want them to sleep. He wanted them to work all week to create a special video for his special lady. And he presented it. And it was the same video we actually saw a couple of months ago. Edge apparently was too dumb. He was worked by the production crew.
They
added a couple of new shots, yes. But it was them on the teeter-totter.
And the
walks.
I thought some of it looked familiar, and then I remembered the best shot ever. Vicky going to feed Edge grapes.
And then eating it.
And the last second taking away, and him giving her the "oh, you rascal" look.
Yes. This video is still fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And then suddenly out came Hunter to spoil the party with a big box. And he said he was there like everybody else to celebrate true love. And he'd made a video of his own. And he showed it. And it was a surveillance video of Edge meeting with the wedding planner in his hotel room alone. And Edge began to get uncomfortable. And Hunter started getting to the good stuff, which involved Edge saying, "Oh, my trapezoid," and asking her to massage his.
My favorite part was actually right before then when he noticed she smelled good, and he said she smelled like angels harmonizing on a dewy morning. Edge rules, everyone.
He had some lines here, all right. So, especially the line about, "I could get to this knot better if you took your bra off."
Smooth.
Write that one down, Vince.
Indeed.
Write that one down. So, anyway, Edge told the Edge Geeks to go get Hunter, so he opened the gift, and there was a sledgehammer in there, so they were unable to go get him. And then it went back to the video where Edge had explained that he had tried to get some sexy panties for Vicky Guerrero at Fredericks of Hollywood, but they said, perhaps you should go to Lane Bryant, you know, because she's fat. And she was not too happy about this. And then, of course, it was time for the big kiss, and Edge, the look on Edge's face when he was caught red-handed, so to speak, was the greatest thing I have ever seen in my entire life. I need somebody to get me a screen cap of that so I can make it my new avatar on the board.
Do you notice?
It was so great.
At the Great American Bash, when they had the text poll, who do you sympathize with more, Edge or Vicky? It was that moment, was the picture they showed.
Yes.
Oh, it was beautiful.
That's the first time I saw this, in fact.
Yes.
That was the first time I saw this, and I cried with laughter watching the pay-per-view. And I should note that as he kissed her, everybody in the building was going, woo, because they were in Charlotte. And, of course, Edge got the young, hot swimsuit model. And, of course, he was going to be a babyface as a result of that. I don't know if that was their intention, but this was fantastic. Edge was so goddamn great right here, and it was a 5-star moment.
It was really, really awesome. I have nitpicky things I could
say. No! Nothing.
I'm not allowed to critique it anyway.
Let me hear it.
Edge, from the get-go, as soon as he realized that there was a hidden camera in his hotel room, he was not nearly as upset as he should have been.
Sure.
He was... He seemed confused more than anything else, as if he had forgotten the entire thing. So, that bothered me. And then, of course, when the four guys went up to get Hunter and Hunter had to defend himself with a hammer, all I could think was, you know...
Well, he had to no-sell it originally. He couldn't show his hand yet. Because he had the plan, I'll send my geeks up to beat this fucker up.
I see. So if he would have panicked, it would have
revealed the whole thing before it even happened.
Well, that kind of leads into what I was going to say next. All I could think was when Hunter had the hammer and the four geeks stopped, all I could think was, there's still four of you. You'll get him, I swear. But then all they had to do was say, Vicky, if you were Vicky in that situation, wouldn't you want to see where this video ended?
Sure.
So Vicky should have demanded that the geeks stay in the ring so she could see how it ended. That's, like I'm saying, these are nitpicky things. These are things I think they could have done better. The whole thing was still awesome, thanks mainly to the greatness that is Edge. But yes, this was awesome. It was wildly entertaining. It was great fun. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Did it make me want to see Edge and Hunter?
Yes.
All right, then.
It did. I don't care. I don't give a shit.
That's fine.
I was entertained by this.
That is an acceptable answer.
All that matters sometimes is that I'm entertained. And I was greatly entertained by this wedding right here. Or this, whatever the hell. I don't even know what this was.
This was the reception.
What part of the reception? They got in the ring for the video showing?
Yeah.
What part of the reception is that?
When your reception has the ring, Brian, you'll know what it is. I should also point out... Well, that's why your reception will be boring.
There won't be a video either.
That's why... Or a wedding planner.
No.
But I should also point out that this incident with Edge, the wedding planner, happened after Edge and Vicky reconciled, which, again, makes you wonder why they broke up in the first place.
Well, yeah. I can nitpick that one, but... So anyway, there you go, kids. And you can tune in to SmackDown on Friday to see where this all goes. And suffice to say, most of you actually probably know where it goes. So... there you go. Let's play a song and then we'll get to the bash. Bunkers. Too damn quiet.
This show's all about noise.
Pump that thing up, I can hear it.
Ladies and gentlemen, my guest at this time. Da, 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 da.
It's the one and only Deagle Double G.
Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg.
Da, 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 da. You know what, mopping
with a great Khali.
Hope you're ready for the next episode.
Click, clack, and pistol, pack, and crip, rag, and folio. Who the only nigga in the club with the Coolio? You ain't know? Yeah, you did, Dad. Bulls, Beardy. Is that Coolio? Jibber jabber, snatch it, get at you.
Yes.
Spit at actors and rappers, hang out with kidnappers and jackers, make money off crackers.
Dungeness.
Can you imagine how I keep shit cracking? It's the big boss song.
That's where I got it.
Mother God!
Great calling at you,
smash it.
I run some numbers.
You scared? You scared? You scared, motherfucker? You scared? You scared?
You scared?
You scared?
You scared?
You scared?
Hate to tell you, but you're gonna be hearing some Khali songs.
He's apparently back in the news.
I know some people don't like it, but Khali is the number one contender. So, yeah. You're going to have to...
Play some music!
Loud!
God damn it. Special night for Khali here on the show. People are going to be so sick of Khali by the end of August.
It's impossible.
I'm playing nothing but Khali songs until SummerSlam.
Do a whole show where something that Khali drops some songs. She had me feeling
like she's... Bring out the game!
Watch out! Oh, watch out! She's saying, come get me. Come get me. So I got up and followed her.
Triple H against a great Khali.
Baby, let's go. When I
SummerSlam.
They're going to battle.
Seriously, how can people hate the Kali songs? How could you possibly hate this song?
Best wrestler on SmackDown.
Time for a celebration already.
Any drop that has me giggling built into it is automatically good.
Oh, the joy we had back in the day. I got more where those came from, everybody. We'll do the Great American Bash first. Then we'll get back to the number one contender. Maybe it's all a swerve. They can't really do that, can they?
Sure, they can do Hunter Hearst Helmsley versus the Great Khali for the WWE Championship in the main event at SummerSlam. The second biggest show of the year.
Yeah, I guess they could do that. Why? All right. Great American Bash, it was a show.
It was a very average WWE pay-per-view.
It was a show. Was there problems at Craig's with the satellite?
No.
Anyway. Four-way for the tag titles, Miz and Morrison, Finlay and Hornswoggle, Jesse and Festus, and the Edge Geeks. The Edge Geeks won. Yes, when they pinned Jesse. They didn't even pin the champion.
No.
This was when I knew this show was just going to be bad.
Stole the belts in front of the Edge Geeks.
When the Miz and John Morrison lost the tag team titles, first off, that was just a disaster. Unacceptable. When they lost the belts, and then the champions didn't even get pinned, WWE always at least has the champions being pinned. Not here.
You would think so.
So you went from belts that may have meant something to belts that don't mean jack shit now. Thumbs down.
Yes, they took them off the hottest team, bypassed two sort of hot teams, and put them on the coolest team in the match that no one cares about.
The Edge Geeks.
The Edge Geeks.
Why?
There's no good reason I can think of, unless they wanted a feud with the Hardys. Which, I should point out, they could have done without the tag team titles.
They could have done Miz and Morrison against the Hardys.
That would have been better. Vastly better.
This makes no sense. The match was there. It was a match.
It was a four-way tag team opener. Yay.
U.S. title, Matt Hardy and Shelton Benjamin. They also had a title change here when Shelton Benjamin, of all people, pinned Matt Hardy with the gold standard. Clean. Matt went for a moonsault and got a knee to the eyeball and then got hit with his move. And yes, Matt Hardy was beaten by Shelton. Shelton is the champion. The only logical explanation is to get the belt back on SmackDown since Matt Hardy is now apparently ECW, even though he's on every fucking SmackDown show. And I'm not even sure he's been on ECW once since the draft.
Is Shelton on SmackDown?
I don't remember.
I didn't know that.
I just made that presumption.
I thought they couldn't find a better candidate than Shelton?
This was better than average. It was pretty good.
It had its moments.
Yeah, it was
the crowd was up and down for the show, but they were into this one, so that helped a lot.
It was one of those matches where Matt hit a middle rope leg drop and the people thought it was to finish.
Yes.
By the way, he does do his leg drop onto his ass. You were incorrect. I thought of that when I saw that move. I wish you were in the room so I could have made fun of you, but you were miles away.
What did I say he landed on?
No, you said he didn't do that move anymore since he went off the top of the cage.
He rarely does that move.
Well, he did it here.
He usually does an elbow to the back of the head.
Then we had a Punk interview from Raw the previous Monday, where he talked about overcoming the odds, proving people wrong, making it to Raw, winning the title. Said you didn't have to be 6'6", 300 pounds to win championships. He planned on still being the champion on Raw. This was a great interview.
This was so awesome.
I will give him that.
He said that, and he also said, I'm not Shawn Michaels, I'm not Chris Jericho, I'm not this, I'm not that. And really what he was saying
was definitely
true. But he was pointing out to fans, I am a fresh new star. I am not the same old. I am new and exciting. Be captivated.
New and exciting.
Yes.
He's new. Don't know about exciting.
Well, you want people to think he's exciting. So
yes.
I love this promo. It was awesome.
It was a great promo. We had Mark Henry against Tommy Dreamer for the ECW title.
This was not awesome.
This was a god-awful battle. Holy shit, this sucked.
If you like watching Mark Henry put people in holds, this is the match for you.
I've been a fan of Mark Henry. Not so much in the ring, and this proved why.
No.
And the finish.
Well, we'll get to that in a second, but you once mentioned that the team of Henry and Atlas, those roles need to be reversed immediately. Henry needs to do the talking and let Tony Atlas wrestle. I guarantee you it'll be better.
Colin Delaney turned heel. Yeah.
He screwed Tommy Dreamer, and thus Tommy Dreamer got pinned by Mark Henry.
Yes.
I was hoping he left on his own. I was hoping he would join Henry and Tony Atlas, and he would be the world's second strongest man by a very wide degree.
I'm reading the ECW report. I want to see what happened with this whole Delaney heel turn here. And let's see. Atlas introduced Colin Delaney.
Excellent.
Who received very little reaction except for the what chant. He said he blamed Dreamer for losing every night and looked at Henry as the future. So,
what?
Teddy Long then made the match Dreamer and Delaney. No build, free on TV. Here's their revenge match. Normally you would build to something like this, says Phil DeLiegro, our reporter here. But there's just no way to get heat on this match. That's true. Colin tried to run, but Dreamer caught him. He landed a beel throw, but Colin caught him with a drop kick and a leg drop. Tommy in a clothesline set up the tree of woe. Dreamer landed a pump handle suplex and a DDT to win.
That's it? Perhaps they're done with Colin.
I actually, when he turned heel, I thought Colin Delaney's days are numbered. I don't know if that's true, but yeah, there you go.
Perhaps they think we've done, the joke's over.
Well, the joke has just begun, apparently. So there you go. That's the aftermath there. We had Jericho and Michaels. This was a fucking, well, I shouldn't say that. It was a really good match. I've seen much better, especially with these two. But it was a different match. I think, but in front of a different crowd on a different night, it would have got over a lot bigger. Basically, Jericho worked over the eye. Sean bled from the eye bad, bleeding all over the place. And it was a UFC-style match. They were both working injuries for no good reason. Like, Sean was selling his ribs from the get-go.
After a lockup.
Pulled some cartilage or something locking up, I don't know. But anyway, they did the deal where Jericho was giving him a grounded pound, and the ref dove in to stop it, just like you'd see on some sort of MMA show. And it was different. I don't think a lot of the fans understood everything about it. There were things in it that I certainly did not understand. But, I mean, work-wise, it was fantastic. They told a great story, and it made a hell of a video package on Raw.
True.
But live in the building on this day, I gave it 3.5 stars, and on a different day, it should have been significantly more.
It seemed to me like the crowd, they knew that no matter what happened in the match, it wasn't going to end until Shawn Michaels did his comeback sequence. And so they didn't care. And then he went through the moves, you know, the forearm, the kip up, blah, blah, blah. And from that point forth, they were into everything. So I don't know if there's a solution to that, but aside from him just winning matches without doing the comeback. But
actually, he didn't even do his whole comeback. He did the forearm, he kipped up, and he went for his atomic drop, and Jericho turned it into a sunset flip and went right for the lion tamer, and that was the end of Shawn Michaels' comeback.
It was, actually.
So that was actually an awesome spot. So
from that point forth, the crowd was into everything, and the finish worked, really. I think the problem was the elbow Jericho threw to, quote, bust Shawn up, unquote, was too subtle, almost. The camera kind of
didn't matter. All that mattered was the blood.
There was a lot of blood. Boy, was there a lot of blood. Yep. And then Jericho beat the hell out of him. And the finish I loved, it was just such a very basic bullying hold where Jericho laid across Shawn and blocked one arm with his body and wrapped the other arm around Shawn's own neck, and then he used his free hand to punch Shawn in the face repeatedly until the ref had to stop it. It was a great finish.
They interviewed Edge about his life, and he said Triple H crossed the line. What kind of a pervert, he said, puts a camera in another man's hotel room. Said Hunter took away his personal life. All he had was a professional life, and he was more dangerous than ever and was going to take the title. It was fine. I expected a more passionate promo out of Edge, but it was fine. We had Natalya and Michelle McCool for the Divas title, and Michelle won. I did not expect this. I figured Natalya would take the title, and Michelle would do the chase. How wrong I was. Michelle won with the fucking Brazilian heel hook. Such a wacky hold, which she applied improperly, and Natalya sold for about 30 seconds before tapping.
Yeah.
Which means that's one shitty heel hook.
Indeed. But that if you're going to use MMA holds, you got to use them correctly, which is when you get caught in, for example, a heel hook, you tap immediately or you're dead, or your something snaps. Your heel.
Your knee.
Yes.
Your knee gets torn out. So, yeah, that was that. And then Jericho came out after some generic girls hit the ring to celebrate. And he said he had late-breaking news. Told everybody to hold on to their ticket stubs because he was there to announce that Sean had a detached retina and his career was over. And
that was a lie.
He said it just goes to show that sometimes the good guys do win and the wicked are punished. Indeed. CM Punk and Batista had a wacky little match. Interesting that this went on before the parking lot brawl, of all things. Punk basically got beaten on. He did a little bit of stuff early. And then Dave got the heat, put him in a move that Michael Cole referred to as a camel hold.
Apparently that's what camels do.
Guess so. And then Punk did his big comeback, that sort of thing. They traded near falls back and forth. And then Kane just ran out and attacked Batista for the DQ. This enraged me.
This is so lame.
This enraged me.
I know I'm in the minority when I say this, but I was looking forward to this more than any other match in the show, just because it was...
Minority.
I know I'm in the minority, but I wanted to see, A, how the crowd would react to Punk. I thought there was a chance of a severe backlash, especially wrestling Batista. There was no backlash. It was sort of a mild acceptance. They did not go crazy for him. They seemed like Dave Moore, I thought, but they were fine with Punk. B, I wanted to see how he performed in his first pay-per-view world championship match. I thought, by and large, he did okay. And then C, I wanted to see if they did anything with him. No. No, they did not.
They did not.
They buried him without taking the belt off him, which apparently is his new gimmick.
And afterwards, Batista
still
Punk with
killed him. Yes.
Batista bomb.
Yes.
It wasn't enough that he'd gave him a spine buster on the floor and had the match won.
And it couldn't even be that Punk won after Kane interfered. No, Kane just threw the match out. Just kicked both guys' ass. No one got what they paid for. Sucked.
This was very, very lame. And it was even more lame on Raw when they did the same fucking match with the same fucking finish.
Yes.
Jesus. Then we had JBL and Cena in a parking lot brawl. For those of you that were not there live, apparently in the building, everybody was laughing at the shit that happened backstage. And
well, it was silly.
It was retarded.
There was a lot of silliness. I felt bad because it is sort of like the famous hardcore battle royal that WCW did where no one could see anything and it sucked and yet guys were really killing themselves.
Yeah.
JBL in particular was destroying himself trying to get a good match here. And he failed so badly.
He failed hideously.
His giant body with a bad back was taking bumps on the cars and the stage and falling down. And
when he took the one on the stage, I thought, okay, they're riding out JBL. His career is
over. I thought that too.
Here at the Great American
He's going to
Bash.
Lose here and be done.
There's no fucking way that this guy has taken this fucking back suplex on the steel ramp with a bad back if he's just coming back to Raw tomorrow night. And then he immediately just seen it went for his move and JBL slipped behind and threw him off onto a car. And pinned him!
Yeah.
This was bad. Right when the children started chanting Cena's name, he got pinned. And I thought, what the fuck are you guys doing on this show today? It was a Roadrunner cartoon. Not even a good one.
There was some fire.
There was...
guys went through windows and didn't
jumper
bleed.
Jumper cables
there
to the nuts.
Jumper cables to the scrotum. There was doors flying off. And
wouldn't just the goddamn jumper cables on your scrotum be bad enough?
Without actually hooking up to a car battery?
He didn't sell that. He just sold the electricity. You put some jumper cables on my nuts.
You're going to sell?
You don't need to do the electricity. I'm dying.
Yes.
I will cry and tap out. This was dumb. God, this was dumb. And then they're both just back on Raw.
Yes, there are no ramifications of this encounter. This terribly violent New York parking lot brawl.
Then we had Triple H and Edge. I gave it 3.25 stars. It was a main event. They did some stuff. There was nothing wrong with it. There was nothing really great. We had some pass the guard and ground and pound references from the announcers. We had a bunch of things here and there. And then finally the wedding planner ran down and apparently tried to hand the belt to Edge. And then Vicky ran down and put her hand on the wedding planner's head.
No, she clotheslined her.
And the wedding planner took the biggest bump I've ever seen.
Don't you take Vicky's offense away from her. She hit a clothesline.
Vince, she ran down with her arm like this, and she put her flat fist on the wedding planner's head, and she took a giant bump.
That's a clothesline.
This was ridiculous. And then they got in the ring for a cat fight, and Edge went to spear someone. The world does not know who. He ended up getting his wife, and then turned around into a pedigree for the pin. Goofy finish, but the match was good. And I guess we'll all tune to SmackDown to see how this plays out.
It was when this match started, it occurred to me that as fun as the whole wedding angle was, nothing on SmackDown made me want to see this match and maybe care about it at all. And technically, it was very...
What could possibly make you care about anything Triple H does now?
Well, that's a valid question.
I've seen this guy's run for the title. Now, when he won the belt, I was as fair as could be. I said, look, the guy hasn't had the title in like 3 years. There's a lot of new viewers. There's a lot of young viewers. For some kids, this may be the first time they've ever seen Triple H with the belt. Great. Let's give him his run. Let's see how it goes. You want to know how it's gone?
Pedestrian?
Completely, utterly pedestrian. Who could possibly care about this title run? What exciting moments have we had in the Triple H title run? I can't remember a goddamn thing. Nothing has meant anything since he won that belt. Who did he even wrestle? Cena?
No.
I think he wrestled Cena, didn't he?
No, Orton.
Orton?
That's bad.
No, then he wrestled Cena, because we were arguing about when's the last time they had this match.
I see. Yeah, he won from Orton, then he wrestled Cena. Now he's wrestling Edge. And now he's going to wrestle the Great Khali.
Okay, that may be exciting.
Yeah, found
just because that will be a bad, bad match.
I mean, such an epic train
Who
wreck.
Who could possibly care about Triple H and Edge, though?
I don't know. But that's what amazes me is I mentioned this. I think it was the pay-per-view when Hunter won, but they were putting up. There was a WWE fan video, and they were the Markest, biggest Mark fans ever. Like much like these strapping fans at the TNA pay-per-view, the fans with the belts that we were also embarrassed about. People like that, and their favorite wrestler was Triple H. And I don't get it.
I don't understand. And if he's your favorite wrestler, great. But what is his title run meant to you? You're just happy because your favorite wrestler is a champion? Do people actually think that?
Apparently.
My favorite wrestler is a champion. That makes me happy. Even if he's not in any compelling feuds, there's nothing compelling about this title reign.
No.
Wow, you had a match with Edge. And the whole thing was built around Edge and his deal. That was the exciting stuff.
Yes, Hunter was the tertiary character in that match between Edge and Vicky.
Jesus, God. Let's play a Khali song.
Do we have any?
Let's celebrate the next champion. Here's a great Khali song. Let me find it here. This one's one of my favorites. And
favorite Khali songs or favorite songs or favorite drops or
everything with Khali is one of my favorites. Here we go.
This is a man's world. This is a man's world.
Come on, everybody. This is
but
great.
But it wouldn't be nothing, nothing without
some competition.
He's right. He's right.
You see,
Yahoo!
Made the cars to take us over the road.
You ever heard this song? The actual song?
Not in a long time.
It's amazing.
To carry the heavy load. Made the electrolyte to take us out of the
Germany.
Let's take a look at the lyrics of this song.
Remember when Kali first told Coach that he wanted some competition?
I realize we're 52 minutes into this show, but I just got to read these lyrics here. It's a man's world, Vince.
By James Brown.
This could become a drop with me playing the role of James Brown, but I don't care. This is a man's world. This is a man's world. But it wouldn't be nothing, nothing without a woman or a girl.
Or you a girl.
You see, man made the cars to take us over the road. Man made the trains to carry heavy loads. Man made electric light.
Oh, electric light.
To take us out of the dark.
I thought you were saying electrolytes, like Gatorade.
So yeah. Man made the boat for the water. Like Noah made the ark. This is a man's world. But it wouldn't be nothing, nothing without a woman or a girl. Man thinks about a little baby girls and a baby boys. Man makes them happy, 'cause man makes them toys. And after man has made everything he can, you know that man makes money to buy from other man. It's a man's world. But it wouldn't be nothing, nothing without a woman or a girl. That's a real song!
Yep. And it was popular. Are you thinking you were born too late again?
No, I'm just appalled. Jesus Christ.
Yes.
After I heard the Kali version, I downloaded the real version, and I remember I was on the way to the airport. I don't remember why I was going to the airport, but I was on the way to the airport, and I was listening to it, and I was just in awe. I listened to it like 5 times and was like, is this really what I'm hearing right now?
Yes, it is.
Wow.
Women are important, but secondary figures is the point of the song.
It doesn't even say they're important.
Well, it would be nothing without a woman or a girl.
Yeah.
A subservient, non-money-making, non-toy-making, non-boat-building, non-train-building woman or girl.
They're good for lovemaking.
Pretty
much. Apparently that's it.
And child-bearing. Not even child-raising, because they don't make toys.
That's right! Wow.
You know, I'm a big fan of both Dean Martin and Nat King Cole, and when I found out they actually did a duet together, I was stoked. And I went home and I immediately listened to it, and the theme of the song is about guys are in trouble and girls are putting them in the doghouse. And then it's all sort of a comic thing about all the silly things men do to make women angry. And then the song has a resolution where Nat King Cole explains that, really now, all joking aside, you got to show women who's in charge. And Dean Martin enthusiastically shouts, you got to slap them! The holy Christ!
Wow.
So yeah, misogyny is not new in music. It's been around a while.
Yeah, so that was quite the little deal right there. And that leads us to Raw. How? I don't know.
It just does.
It should lead us to TNA.
Indeed, actually.
All right, let's run down this program right here. Wrap this. Oh, God, we still got to do shout-outs. I'm going to do one shout-out today.
Do half a shout-out.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Yeah, they announced JBL, DiBiase, and Cody Rhodes against Cena Crime Time in the main event. Yep.
They're back.
We weren't even out a day.
No.
Or a week. Yeah.
Just back on Raw.
So Batista came out and did a promo and said he wanted a match with Punk, and then JBL appeared on the big screen and said he should be the guy in charge, and he wanted the next match, and they got in a big argument, and finally Punk came out and said he was King of the Jungle since there was no authority figure still on Raw, and he basically agreed to defend the belt against against Dave later on in the evening, and they cut JBL's mic. This went on forever, and I was so goddamn sick of JBL, and not in a good way. Not like, no. What a great heel this man is, like Edge. It was like, I don't ever want to see wrestle again. I'm sorry.
Well, I don't want to see him wrestle again, but I found him wildly entertaining here. When Punk told him to shut up or that he was not getting his title shot, and he did a hilarious, what?
He had some funny facial expressions.
And then after they cut his mic off, and the segment ended with Tiny CM Punk and Tiny Dave Batista in the ring, and up on the screen, this gigantic JBL throwing a silent tantrum.
Yeah.
And I was laughing. That was funny.
Then we had Lance Cade coming out, doing a Steve Austin impersonation to Shawn Michaels' music. That was something else. Cut a promo about Shawn and introduced Jericho. I'm sorry, Paul London, actually, for his match, first off. He basically said, Shawn, you could come out anytime, either before, during, or after the match. But Shawn never did. He was beaten far worse than JBL with the...
Well, he was bleeding, after all.
The deal on his Johnson. But anyway, so he beat London quickly, and then out came Jericho, who cut just the most fucking great promo. They showed a package from the night before of the beating, and it was unbelievable. And then Jericho basically said, fans, it's all your fault. You people chose to back a liar and an egomaniac. You didn't care about me when I came back. You wanted the wacky funny man with the long hair. That guy's gone. So, too bad. Said Shawn had broken ribs, internal bleeding, detached retina. He would never see properly for the rest of his life. And he said he was proud of what he did, proud of what happened to Shawn, and this ruled. God damn, this ruled.
Very passionate. The key to it was that he mentioned that he had grown up and matured, but apparently no one else had. Because, you know, just represents that he has changed in his character growth. Whereas Shawn is still a 40-year-old man who's acting the same as he did when he was 30.
Yeah. Kelly and Beth Phoenix. That's all you have to say about that whole great fucking promo? That was the best promo of, like, since the last time they cut a promo.
Several weeks you've been talking about how great these promos are, and they're doing more for you than they are for me.
You're not into these promos?
Not terribly, no.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I don't have an answer. They speak. I don't hate it. I'm not bored, but I'm not enthralled by them either.
What's been a good promo of late?
CM Punk on the pay-per-view.
That one doesn't count. Name another one. Well, it was weird you agreed that one was good. The only good promos you've seen of late have been CM Punk.
That was the first one that came to mind.
Wow. So these Michaels Jericho promos have done nothing for you, and CM Punk has lighting your world on fire.
I
will give him the one promo at the pay-per-view, but what are the promos that he cut that have been so great? Beyond...
Well, done.
That was it?
That was the best one. I merely said that I am not into these Jericho promos as much as you are.
Well, they're awesome.
Then I'm wrong.
Okay, good. Then we had Kelly and Beth Phoenix. We had Kelly running wild and getting sent into the buckle, and then Beth killed her and won. Not much to say about this.
It was very sloppy.
The Jericho promo was better than this match.
I will grant you that. The crowd did get into it, but it was very sloppy.
Kelly screams a lot. I don't know what her deal is. Not like in a good way. Well, she may. Let's move on.
Sure. You want to pull your foot out of your mouth there?
I was trying to add some excitement to this program, Vinny. As you've fallen off the cliff here.
Straight to the gutter?
On Raw. We had Hacks on the ring, saying that he thought about what Cody and DiBiase said last week, and he decided they were right. It was a young man's business and a man's world! And maybe it was time to hang up the trunks. And then Lawler hit the ring to say, come on now. You have the ability, unlike Barack Obama or John McCain, to get people to chant USA in your very presence. That was a line.
Well, it's true.
And he wanted to know if Hacksaw really wanted to leave that behind. And Duggan said, you know, you're right. And then out came the tag champs. And DiBiase was talking about how when Duggan won the Royal Rumble, he was two. And when Lawler slapped Andy Kaufman, Cody Rhodes was not even alive. And Lawler said, oh, you didn't see it? Well, let me show you. It looked like this. And he slapped him, and it was great. And DiBiase had to hold back Rhodes, which was funny. And they said they'd handle these old fuckers some other day. And I can't wait for that match.
This was a better promo than Jericho. This
was pretty good.
Whole segment was awesome. First of all, Hacksaw came out, and he had accepted that his time had gone. And so he cleaned up. He was wearing, like, slacks and a polo shirt. And he actually looked good. He actually cleaned up okay. And he gave a very realistic, believable speech about how, you know what, it's just time to go. And Lawler was awesome, pointing out, dude, you come out here, you hold up a thumbs up, and everyone goes, oh, everyone loves you. You can't quit now. And then DiBiase and Rose were awesome. And the build-up to the slap was so great. It was the kind of build-up where everyone knew Cody Rhodes was going to be slapped except Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
And because he's a heel, that works. And then after the slap, the young, brash, in their physical peak tag team champions didn't want to fight.
No.
Because they're heels.
Yeah.
I love this.
This ruled. Then we had Rhodes, DiBiase, and JBL against Cena in Crime Time. This went forever. And it worked, though, because the longer it went, the more the people wanted to see the hot tag. And when Cena finally got it, the place went nuts.
It was the hottest tag ever.
And then we had something totally goddamn stupid, which was Cena got his hands on JBL for the first time in the match. And JBL responded by running through the crowd, fleeing. And Michael Cole was like, well, can you blame him? And I thought, in fact, I can. You slipped out of John Cena's finisher last night and beat him clean in a fucking street fight. What the hell are you running away for?
You proved yourself to be the better man.
You are the superior athlete, apparently. So why the fuck are you scared? And why doesn't Michael Cole know this? That's my big question.
Because he knows nothing. That I can answer.
So anyway...
Well, with no JBL, Cena had to find someone else to pin.
Both tag champs.
John Cena picked up the tag team champions, hit a double FU, and pinned them both. It looked awesome, but it was dumb.
Well, he pinned DiBiase. He was only one of them, but still.
He had them both in his shoulders. He casually flicked off Rhodes and then hit DiBiase with the FU and pinned him. It looked really cool. But again, it was one man pinning the tag champs. That was dumb. Then afterwards, John Cena went out, and his dad was in the crowd, and he gave his dad a big hug, and he got back in the ring. I thought, okay, JBL ran through the crowd. Now they've established that Cena's dad's also in the crowd. JBL will come out and beat up the elder Cena. No, didn't happen. There was no point to JBL running out.
You know, it's much harder to have a body. This came out wrong. Let me rephrase that. It's much harder to hoist a human, living, of course, onto your shoulders and walk around with them than it is, say, a barbell. If you were going to do squats, it would be easier with a bar and 245s than actually put like a 135-pound living being on your shoulders.
Okay.
It's a little more unwieldy.
Yes.
A bar is just very straight and it doesn't move or wiggle.
Perfectly
or
balanced.
Anything like that. John Cena had two, at least 225-pound men on his shoulders. He had 450 fucking pounds,
mm-hmm.
and he was
of
walking
living, breathing
across the ring with these men.
Mm-hmm.
That's a strong fucker.
And then he very casually just flicked Cody Rhodes into the air.
I think you're giving the man a little too much credit. There was nothing casual about this. Cody Rhodes did help propel himself
into
the air.
It was fake, but
John Cena was struggling to get to the middle of the ring, but he made it.
He's a bigger, stronger man than you or I.
Yes.
Yes.
Where did that come from?
I'm just merely emphasizing your point.
I was not talking about my own strength and physical prowess.
How about he is stronger than almost everyone in this company by leaps and bounds?
Although I could, if you really wanted me to here.
Talk about your own physical prowess?
Sure.
How much can you squat?
I don't squat anymore. I'm getting old.
Uh-huh.
Leg press.
Mm.
I leg pressed as much as Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase on the slide the other day.
Are you totaling 10 reps there?
I didn't go all the way down.
I see.
We had Mickey James and Kofi. Have you seen my legs? Come on now. I
avoid looking at your legs if I don't have
to. Gams on me. Mickey James and Kofi.
I haven't heard gams is like third grade.
Against Katie Lee and Paul Burchill in an intergender match, meaning men could beat women. It was fine. Kofi's getting better every week and kicked the post, and then Burchill threw him in the ring and pinned him to set up for the title match. And didn't use the curb stomp. He used a neck breaker, and it was a hell of a neck breaker. So, thumbs up to Paul Burchill.
Everything about this is fine. I understand that they want Paul Burch to get a title shot, so they think the easiest thing to do is pin the champion. I just think Kofi, he's only been, you know, the IC champ for like, well, a month or two, and it's just too early to have him to go even Steven with Paul Burchill.
Yeah.
He could have just had him get beat up.
Too early for who?
For Kofi.
Why? He's the champion.
But no one doesn't mean anyone cares about him.
He shouldn't be going toe-to-toe with Paul Burchill.
He should be defeating Paul Burchill.
I see. I thought you meant Paul Burchill should just be defeating him.
No. My problem with this was that Paul Burchill defeated him.
I see. Jamie Noble did a segment with Layla and Batista throttled him. Not much to it.
He mentioned dumbbell flies.
He did. I laughed. Then Punk did a promo about how he was going to go down swinging if he went down, and JBL threatened to fight for the title at SummerSlam, and I was appalled. This was not as good as the night before.
No, it was not. He cut a promo basically guaranteeing that Punk was going to escape Raw with the title again.
We had Santino come out, and he sang A Man's World.
He did, actually. He may as well have. He explained he does not fight people with fallopian tubes.
That's right.
This is the funniest possible female anatomical reference he could have made.
Issued the same challenge tonight for a man. D'Lo Brown accepted. I have no idea what people see in D'Lo Brown. He's fine. He's acceptable in the ring. That's it. He won this match after just beating the shit out of poor Santino. And then after he left, out came Beth. Actually, she'd been in the aisle the whole time. She got in the ring and started punching Santino. And he grabbed her in a waist lock and screamed, "No more punches!"
That's right.
And so she switched into a waist lock of her own, and they kept going back and forth. And
she screamed, "Let me go!" And he screamed, "Never!"
And eventually they just let go of each other and looked at each other and then gazed into each other's eyes. And then he grabbed her by the hair, and she grabbed him by the back of the neck, and they kissed. And the fucking place went crazy. I have no idea why this worked as big as it did. Santino can make anything work, I've decided.
Is this such a goddamn weird couple?
And they broke their embrace and looked at each other awkwardly, and he left, and it was just great. Goddamn, this was great.
It was very, very awesome. And again, Santino makes things awesome with the fallopian tubes and the no more punches.
So
desperately screaming this.
And then Batista came out.
It was so weird to see D'Lo Brown on Raw in 2008. It was like a time machine. Like someone had gone back to 1998, picked a random Raw wrestler, and stuck him on Raw. It's very odd.
10 years ago was his prime.
Yeah.
And he's back.
He's just back now.
I don't get it.
There was and predictably, 90% of the fans didn't know who he was. Yeah, it's a little heavy. Most fans didn't know who he was. A lot of fans knew who it was and were just kind of stunned. And then you could just make out the vast minority just going crazy. Hooray, yeah. It's D'Lo!
Yeah. Did D'Lo do that people are so excited to see him back?
He bobbed his head a lot, which he did not do on the show.
And that is exciting in what way?
Yeah, people liked it.
I do not get this one.
He's a guy.
He is merely a guy. That's it. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. Except he hit the guy really hard. Anyway, Batista came out, but Kane ran down and started beating on him and gave him a choke slam. And then brought the geeks to the back, or brought Kane to the back. The geeks did.
Well, before that, this is an important note. Kane was beating up Dave. CM Punk ran down, hit Kane, and sent him packing. This may have been the highlight of CM Punk's title reign.
Perhaps it does.
He very briefly was the better man for once.
So they got Kane away, and then the entire match was Dave still selling the chokeslam. Not anything CM Punk did, mind you. Still selling what the big guy did.
Right.
The big star.
Yes.
So Punk did a bunch of moves, and then Dave made a little comeback, and suddenly out came JBL for the second fucking DQ in two nights in the same match, and I was just appalled. So then Cena ran down, and they got in a brawl, and then they teased Cena and Batista, which was supposed to be the WrestleMania main event, but apparently now they may be doing it at SummerSlam, and then the show just ended very abruptly. I don't know what to say. Poor segment.
Aside from the obvious Cena Dave tease, it left me wanting to see nothing really. It was just a bunch of guys.
Yeah. I thought they were setting up Elimination Chamber.
That thought crossed my mind too. There was these four dudes, plus you can throw in Kane and Jericho. There's six. Lord knows they need something.
They're doing Jericho and Shawn. So we've got these five. We need one more. Punk, Dave, JBL, Cena,
Kane,
and who's the other guy? There should be one more guy. They're all feuding with each other. Who's Kane been feuding with?
No one. He's been screaming up people being dead or alive.
Fucking Kofi Kingston in there. Who cares? So there you go, kids. There's your Raw show. And good show until the main event, which took it down a notch. But what can you do? All right, I'm reading two shout-outs. That's it. It's an hour and 11 minutes into the show. I can take
kind and benevolent emperor today.
I am. I was only going to read one. All right. Hey, B&V, I'd like to make a formal complaint. You're always making mention of how many international members of the Empire they are. How many international members of the Empire there are, but the way you treat us is often despicable. How dare you? You automatically assume the rest of the world knows what is going on in the good old U.S. of fucking A. That's not always the case. But now I imagine I've got your attention, so it's time for some examples. Who the fuck is Jimmy Kimmel? How am I supposed to know or care why he was on Raw if it wasn't explained to us who he is? Don't yell at me for that.
Yeah, yell at WWE.
Yell at WWE. And nobody in America knows Jimmy Kimmel either.
That's actually also true.
What the fuck does Rickrolled mean? How was Vince Rickrolled?
That is not a U.S. thing.
No.
That is a global phenomenon based on an English artist. Go to Wikipedia, everyone. Rickrolled is on there.
Yeah, go look up Rickrolled on Wikipedia. Another thing, a football is round. If you must mention your farce of a sport, make sure you call it American football, which is what is known as worldwide, and the word soccer is now banned from all your radio shows. Understand, I don't give a fuck about football, soccer, European fucking football. I don't care about any of it. It's all banned from this show. I'm also fed up with you fucking complaining all the time. I say you because when you're on a rant, poor Vinny doesn't get a fucking word in. You complain about the poor quality of the new drops since you deleted all the old ones, yet you won't play the one I sent you a couple of weeks ago. I demand you play it now, but it's for Vinny only, so Brian, you better not listen to it. Okay. And don't get me started on the price of fucking gas. Fuck you! When you have to pay $11 to $12, then I'll listen to you bitch about it. Have a great birthday. This is apparently sent in June. This is from Chris, ring rope on the board. Let's compare the size of fucking America to the size of England while you're bitching about the cost of gas. You're not driving 40 miles to work. Give me a break.
I just want to let it be known that not once in this show have I left with something unsaid. If I don't say anything, it's because I have nothing to say.
Yeah, Vince, I try and drag words out of
it. Yes.
This is from Foreign Object. Vela's just back from Malaysia working as a night guard and game tester on Survivor.
Wow.
Scandinavian and Dutch-Belgium versions. Thought I'd drop my shout-out on your asses. The yearly subscription...
Very genteel, the way you said that.
...has paid off as I chuckled and chortled, sending 2-meter, 6.5-foot monitor lizards, poisonous centipedes, snakes, and spiders fleeing into the night.
Wow.
I would like to be the first Canadian living in Norway to wish you, Brian, happy and humble birthday.
Shout-outs are awesome.
Please tell Vin that I'm deadly jealous that he's seen the Bret versus Macho match live. And would like to end a debate by saying Barry Horowitz had the worst gimmick ever.
How dare you?
A guy who liked to pat himself on the back? And yes, a sequin vest with a handprint in case he forgot where it goes.
Okay.
Your hombre all over, from all over, Foreign Object.
Okay, speaking of shows I've seen live, first of all, yes, the Bret Hart, Randy Savage match on Saturday night's main event. It seemed very good at the time. I don't think I've seen it in 20 years. I suspect it's still very good. But speaking of shows gone too live, I once went to a show, me and my buddy Jim. This was in the middle of the Barry Horowitz versus Chris Candido feud. And
what a feud that was.
And Barry Horowitz, he's also working some other indie, it may have been global, but he called himself The Winner, which was, of course, a rib. But he had the sequin jacket with the handprint on it. So me and my buddy Jim, we got together, and we got some yellow and red tank tops and bandanas that said Winner Mania on the back. And Barry Rules in big letters, and then the big yellow handprint, or big red handprint on the yellow sweatshirt in the back. Because you know why? Because we were cool. And then we actually got Barry's attention at the show, and he howled with laughter and pointed us out to Hakushi, who also thought it was funny.
To Hakushi.
Yes. That's the story of me as a mark.
That is a fantastic tale.
That is the same show where they did a lumberjack match with the Diesel versus Yokozuna.
That sounds horrid.
Wherein the Lumberjacks attempted to lift Yokozuna into the ring, but he was fat, and he completely lost control and began to just literally howl and cry with laughter. He just couldn't take anymore. And finally, they gave up, and they gave him a few minutes to sit back and regain his composure, and he became the mean sumo wrestler again, and he got in the ring, and they continued. That was an awesome show.
Wow. Whatever happened to house shows?
Sid Vicious spat on Sean. I think that was the same show.
Did he?
Yes.
Did Brent throw a pop
this
at
is
Sid?
This is not the same show where Brent Kremen threw a pop at Sid.
We'll have to get Brent on the show one of these days.
How is Brent? I haven't heard from him in a while.
Maybe Thursday we'll get him on the show. So, kids, we're going to wrap it up today. But, of course, one more song here. And, of course, Collie.
Some Barry Harlow's
my favorite Collie song. I love this song. And I hate Christmas.
True.
Thank God we got plenty of time for Christmas.
Have a jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be
some competition.
It'll never be that funny again.
Have a jolly,
jolly Christmas. And when you walk down the street, say,
you remember me last time.
And everyone you meet.
I got to play one more.
Yay!
It's not Collie.
Is it the Collie Barrel of Fun?
No. Somebody made this a while ago, and it's just so great. I've got to play it one more time. How there is Collie.
He's all over. What's Hanson up to these days, anyway?
Still around. They grew up, apparently. The hell is that?
That's a finish.
Ah, kids, we're out of here. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Adios.
Actually. Ciao.